Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. As some of you might know, that last week the podcast was just ever so slightly drunk. There are a few things that I forgot to point out. One of them,
right.
One of them was the fact that I had a couple of listeners off of the podcast come up and chat to us who really wanted to talk about Coventry climaxes.
What?
Yeah, in the pits. You were there. You were there.
I think I was talking to somebody else.
You were there. Yeah, you might have gone off onto. So he said, when are we going to start doing Coventry climax T-shirts? And I said, well, that sounds brilliant, but at the same time, I think we don't own the rights to Coventry or Climax, so I'd have to investigate that. But he said, I had a Hillman Imp as my first car, and I got it before I passed my test. And my uncle, who was really into them, kind of helped me to do it up and influenced me to do the car up. But he said he was a sort of secret parts groomer. And I went, what? He said, I would realise I needed a certain part. And I'd speak to my uncle and go, oh, yeah, I think I can solve this problem. I just need to find one of these. And he'd listen to the, like a long, drawn-out conversation. Then he'd go, yeah, I've got one of those. and simply not offer it to him. Just say, yeah, I've got one. Yeah, you know, like this, like a weird sorcerer's apprentice type of thing of like going, yeah, I know how to do all of the things you're doing and I've got all the parts, but just going to be really selective about how I help you here, just to see if you can push through yourself and do it yourself.
Jeez, so, I hope this guy never went, oh, well, the doctors say that I need a new kidney, uncle, and apparently genetically you're a match. Kidney, yeah, kidney. Yeah, a couple of those, actually. Bye.
The other thing that I didn't mention is when I went camping with my children in the Volkswagen T6.1 California.
Yeah, which I don't think we've mentioned on the podcast, but this is what you did.
I think I was going to, and then we might have got sidetracked by 12 other pointless things.
Probably.
It was touch and go whether I thought this was going to be successful, because in the past my kids have really enjoyed camping, but my daughter's at a kind of teenage age where things can not be well received. So she's not listening to this, so I can say that. So I took them away for 3 nights, 4 days, borrowing the latest California, which is not that the latest anymore because there's another one about to come out. But I thought, well, they're not big, are they? They're a pop-up roof. It's just me and the kids, so three of us. Had a bike rack on the back. And I have to say, I've got it all packed up, stocked with food, plastic plates, etc., etc. And we had a really fantastic time. The kids loved sleeping upstairs in the pop top. I enjoyed. I thought it was cosy enough. And the great thing is about a car of that dimension is you can legitimately use it as a family car when it's not a camper van. It's not like a huge white good of a thing that just kind of takes up the whole driveway and just sits there gathering algae for 300 days of the year. But the reason why I'm telling you this, because it's starting to sound a bit consumery and useful, is because in the middle of the night, of course, when you're in a small camper van and you need to have a toilet, isn't a toilet on board said camper van because it's not a posh motorhome, you've got to get out. And you've got to get out without waking everybody else up. And that's hard.
Yes.
That's really hard. So this has soft closed doors on the sliding soft closed door, but it still makes that sliding door noise.
Oh, yes, it's a very metally.
It is metally. which doesn't sound loud until it's 3 a.m, and then it kind of sounds loud. So I thought to myself, although it's soft close, which did really help, having to, well, put it this way, at one point I woke up and I seriously considered opening one of the, I call them cooking windows, those little sliding side windows for when you're having a bit of a kettle or a cook situation, you need to get the steam out. Mm. I thought, could I get away with just sort of half standing up there and just jamming the chap out and just winging into the wilderness? And then I thought, no, that's not right. That's not the right thing to do. So I ended up sort of managing to sneak out with the sliding door. It took me about a minute to open the sliding door. I think manufacturers need to know that, of camper vans and things, it's a really important consideration. How do you get in and out of the van without waking everybody else up?
Hmm.
And don't have a rattly bed. There can't be a rattly bed. It's impossible.
Those little sliding windows within windows, I feel like VW were the first people to manage to redesign those so they were satisfyingly flush from the outside.
Yeah, they are very flush.
And it makes a big difference to the way that the thing looks. It basically looks very slick and professional. You know, the way they used to be sort of, I mean, worst case, the runners were on the outside.
Yeah, which looked daft.
It looked terrible.
And they probably whistled.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was VW who figured out a way. And I don't even know how. I don't think I've ever... What do they look like from the inside? Are there runners on the glass on the inside?
There might be. I'll just go and check it. So it's going back in about an hour. But you pinched...
You've still got it.
Yeah, they've let me keep it a bit longer. It goes back today. Do you know what? I know they're really expensive. Everyone's going, yeah, but like they start at $60,000. And they do. They start at $60,000.
How much is the one that you've got?
About 71, 72. Okay. So we are talking a lot of money, okay?
Mm.
But A, there are, of course, non-Volkswagen Californias available that do the same job pretty well. But VW, obviously, they've been building it in-house for quite a long time now. So it's all built in Hanover. It's all VW warrantied. They don't farm it out to another company or anything like that. So that does sort of pay dividends because the residuals on them are bonkers. I start surfing second-hand ones and you just go, bloody hell, they're still worth loads of money. Yeah. And I'm seriously thinking of a camper van. Not a new California because I haven't got the budget for that, but I think it could be it's a nice bonding tool for me and my children, you know.
But you're talking about a pop-toppy van rather than one of those, you know, that's like a snail back on a Ducato chassis type.
Well, I'm torn, Rich. I'm torn.
Because they have a loo, don't they, a lot of those?
Yeah, the sort of coach-built motorhome, they tend to have a toilet and they have a bigger kitchen rather than a kitchenette. Mm. And
kitchenette.
I like the term kitchenette. Do you know what? I might have said this before. The only person I know who still uses the term caravanette instead of campervan is Jason Plato. Still refers to campervan as a caravanette. Isn't it brilliant? It just sounds like an elderly lady's name.
This is like my sometime colleague Jeremy Clarkson said that his dad used to refer to maps. He, instead of saying, oh, get the map, he'd say, could you get the gazetteer?
The what?
I can maybe pronounce it wrong. Gazetteer.
Gazetteer.
Basically, gazetteer. I don't even know that there is a word for map, but yeah. Get the gazetteer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds convincing.
Yes.
A local newspaper's called in Somerset, it's called the Somerset County Gazette. Maybe
Gazette is a local newspaper.
I didn't read it much, but maybe when you just open the pages, it's all just maps, and then there's some lonely parts at the back.
It's a map of Bridgewater.
And a Carlton at the back for sale, obviously.
Of course, always. I've got a few bits of housekeeping. First of all, if I sound a bit different, I'm actually sitting in my 24 Tesla because some fuckwits are chainsawing near my house.
In your back garden.
Yeah, and they were doing it all yesterday, and it was very annoying. I was trying to work, and I assumed they'd be done by today, but no, just before we started recording, they fired up all these bloody... I don't know how many people are back there, but it sounds like they've got at least two chainsaws going. So it's a big job, whatever they're trying to do.
And they're not electric, are they? They're two-stroke.
No, they're not. They're very much two-stroke.
Absolute two-stroke.
And it's that really piercing but also intermittent noise. You go, oh, they've stopped at last.
Yeah. Oh, no, they haven't. I like it when the chainsaw's being over-revved a little bit, so it goes...
I mean, they do... Sometimes they finish with a flourish, don't they, as well? So they...
I like using my... I do have a petrol strimmer. I don't use it very often. It's ex-contractor spec, so it's heavy duty for the applications that I use it for these days. But my son's terrified of it.
Which is what?
Well, which is the edges of a small lawn compared to doing, I don't know, a council cricket pitch every other day.
Yeah.
But... I've got to get an electric one because my son's terrified of it and it won't go near it. And he's just taken up the mantle of mowing his mum's lawn. And he really enjoys mowing lawn. So I've handed down my enthusiasm and my the therapeutic nature of lawn mowing to him. But he really wants an electric strimmer. So that's what I've got to find one of those.
Another bit of housekeeping.
Oh.
From last week. Well, first of all, a sort of general reaction to last week's podcast, which was unusual for us for a few reasons. We had a guest, which we don't normally do, but it was sort of not a deliberate guest, and he was really a guest. Like, we didn't interview him, did we? Mm-hmm. Just Greg James was sort of hanging around with us, and then he was in the room where we were recording the podcast.
Just enjoying some gin on the bed, really.
Yeah, we'd all had some drinks, which obviously gave the show a slightly different quality, should we say.
You were so pissed, honestly.
I don't, gosh.
You really were.
Well, I do, actually. It's because I was at the members' meeting, which was lovely. What a lovely Saturday that was.
Sweet, sweet members' meeting.
Thank you to the nice people at Alpine who had us as guests, and... they had a hospitality thing, and I went back there because I'd been walking around looking at some lovely cars, watching some brilliant racing, or qualifying, or for the racing, and I went and sat down, take the weight off, and I thought, I'll have a lovely glass of wine. Well, the trouble is, and it was sunny as well, the sun was blazing in through the windows of where I was sitting, looking out over some lovely grass at the airfield end of Goodwood. And I had a lovely glass of wine. And the problem with a lovely glass of wine on a sunny Saturday afternoon is it goes down easy. And so I had another one. And that's where our story began. But
when the second litre kicked in, yo.
Yes, it really... Yes, I think it was when I got to about 2.2 litres of wine.
You probably did. You probably did have 2.2 litres of white wine.
Probably. So thank you. I did say this last time, didn't I? But thank you to everyone who came over and said hi, because that was great. And thank you to Greg James for being on the podcast and sort of just... because he's a listener, isn't he? So he understands this nonsense, and he didn't sort of sit there going, I'm sorry, you've completely lost me. But then driving back on Sunday, I put the recording we'd made on the stereo in the A110 that I'd borrowed, so I could listen back to it just to check that it wasn't complete drivel and that it was audible and all this sort of stuff before we uploaded it. And I'd completely forgotten all that stuff when you brought up that phone box card from 1990s London that just said Bum Tricks on it.
Yeah, Bum Tricks.
And I'd forgotten we discussed this, and it completely blindsided me, and I snorted with laughter and almost drove the car into the central reservation. So... I know it's terrible to laugh.
I wonder what became of that card. I had it for years.
For the show notes on our Patreon, I thought, oh, well, I wonder if anybody else found that card and put it online. So I found myself Googling Bum Tricks phone box card. So that's driven a horse and cart through my search history. But no, sadly not. No one's recorded it for posterity.
Pre-internet Bum Tricks, obviously.
The best sort.
Yeah.
We did sort of talk about the A110 last week, didn't we? But maybe not in any coherent detail. But
no, we
what
did.
A car.
We did.
What a car that is.
Yeah.
What struck me particularly is that, you know, it's sort of lightweight and quite sporty, but it manages to be brilliantly sort of lively and precise. And yet, on the Sunday, when I just needed to get home feeling really quite shite, it was a surprisingly comfortable and easy way to get home.
Yeah.
It was no stress at all.
No,
just leave everything in auto and it's fine.
Yeah, mine was exactly that too. I really didn't want to give it back, and that sort of seldom happens with new cars. But yeah, we did. I think we've all sung the praise of it, and a few people I've noticed on Instagram and things who own a vast amount of sports cars and supercars. You know, they have Alpines too. It is one of those cars where, if you know, you know. I guess I don't like saying that too much, but it is.
No,
it is one of those scenarios. I think. I'd like.
Definitely.
I feel like that might be the situation with mid-80s Heimer motorhomes, which is what I've been looking at more online than Alpines in the last week. I think I'd quite like a short, stubby Heimer, because that's what I'm thinking. Do I go pop top kind of VW camper size, or do I go stubby, stocky 80s Heimer? I've got a real thing for like mid 80s to early 90s Heimers.
They always look like they're going to topple over to me.
Yeah, they do, but they're really
well made.
Is that
why you like them? Because you had a Comma van once and you love a narrow track that you can sleep in.
Well, where we were camping in the Peak District, the farm that we were camping on, the house next door, when we went for a ramble, I say ramble, I was riding my 14-year-old's bike because mine had a puncture. But anyway, I'll talk about that later. I noticed in someone's back garden, there was none other than a Comma Highwayman camper van on the top of this huge hill in the middle of nowhere. It's like, bloody hell, I've not seen one for years, because I had one, didn't I? And I do love the inboard track width. I've always quite liked it. I don't know why. I quite like it. But the E-Type Jaguar is a very inboard track width.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
So there are cars with sporting pedigree that have these things. But so I do like the idea of having an 80s Heimer with modern internals. But it has to be one of those ones where it looks like you're driving a caravan that's had a small crash at the front. I don't know why. I just think they look really cool. Look like you're driving a plastic cloud. And I quite
why would you want such a thing?
Do you know, have you ever played Mario Kart? I'm sure you've played Mario Kart in your life.
Yes.
When you have a crash in Mario Kart, right back to the first ever one on the Super Nintendo or SNES.
Yeah.
When you fall off the track, a chap in a cloud comes along with a crane and lifts you back onto the track.
Oh, yes.
I like the idea of it just sort of being a pillowy cloud that just goes along the road, and everyone inside is all happy and like, ooh, this is cosy. But I do really like the idea of it. I don't know if I'll follow through with it. I don't know if I've got the funds, but I know that it's certainly the kids have talked about it non-stop, and they love the whole cosiness of it, the wholesomeness of just being in your little den.
What would a, let's say, vintage Heimer motorhome cost you these days?
Short wheelbase, so kind of like no more than 18, 19 feet long.
Hmm.
You could get a very clean example of the mark for probably 15.
Oh.
Something like that. We're talking mid.
Still quite a lot for something that other people have farted and had sex in.
And pooed in. Yeah, because they all have lavs.
I went to get my Panda back from the garage again this week. It's now working quite well, actually.
I don't believe
famous
you.
Last words, but yeah, it's everything feels good, which is why I'm going to sell it. Have I taken a picture of this?
No.
There's this old American motorhome, like a Dodge, that's just sort of jammed into a hedge on the little scrubby access road down to the garage. And I don't know who it belongs to, whether it's the place that repairs my Panda constantly, or there's a body shop next door and there's some other businesses down there. It's your classic sort of urban, scrubby, light industrial estatey sort of place.
Oh, it'll be one of
some other buildings.
It'll be one of the mechanics who's been who's got a gambling problem or something, and he's online gambled his house.
No, no, I don't think anyone lives in it. I sincerely hope no one lives in it. It just it's just walking past it. It's one of it visibly smells. Do you know what I mean?
It's just,
it's so manky. And I was looking at it as I walked past yesterday, and I realised that all of the sort of, you know, the bonquette cushions that presumably come off to make a bed in the back are all sort of piled up against the window.
Yeah.
And I suddenly thought, I was like, you couldn't pay me to sleep in that. It's just, it looks so
Does it look seedy?
And, yeah, seedy. It does look seedy. Because those American ones have an extra seediness to them, don't they?
I think there's a very short seesaw on motorhomes and campers where it goes from being cosy and sort of retro and chintzy, but that makes it almost more cozy because it's like being tucked up in your nan's house, your friendly nan's house. But then it quickly goes across to being seedy.
Yes.
So the line is fine, and I, as someone that's is considering perhaps a camper van or a motorhome, I have to be wary of this as a single man, because you can look look a little bit seedy.
Someone we know who bought a van, just like a real knackered old transit, purely because he likes off-road motorbiking.
Ah, yes. Yes.
And he bought the van just to transport his motorbikes to interesting places where he could off-road them.
Mm.
But then he was going on a date one night. although he owns other cars, for some reason, he couldn't access any of them. They were broken or blocked in. He just went, oh, screw it. The transit's outside.
Fucking
and it's got fuel and it works. And off he went in this knackered transit.
Fault.
And it set a tone for the date that he instantly regretted.
What, because she saw him turning up in a...
I think it might have also... It may have been something to do with a sleeping bag.
Oh, gosh.
That was the bit that set the tone that was... It maybe looked like he slept in the van, or he was hoping she might want to sleep with him in the van. I don't know.
Oh,
anyway,
gosh.
It wasn't good. It didn't set... he was hoping for, you know, a sort of atmosphere of sophistication that didn't quite arrive.
No, that's not going to happen, is it?
I've got to say thank you to a listener called Joe on the camper van front, who sent us some pictures of not one but two GMC motorhomes.
Oh, gosh.
That he spotted at the Goodwood members meeting.
The six-wheelers.
The six-wheelers.
Oh, front-wheel drive.
The first one, yeah, front-wheel drive, Toronado power packs. they're fabulous, absolutely brilliant. And but again, to your point about the seesaw, see, an immaculate one of those with the full, proper, original spec interior.
Gorgeous.
I think would be a magnificent thing, but it's very easy for them to tip into seediness. Now, the first one that Joe sent us a picture of looks like an immaculate example of the mark.
Oh, gosh.
And it's got a lovely awning that comes out. It's just, it's tidy, and he's taken the pictures at night, but it's all lit up, and it looks cosy.
Oh, wow.
It's lovely.
Wow.
Now, the second one, because Joe sent us a follow-up message that just starts, there are two! He hadn't realised there was another one. And it's not quite in as good condition.
But is it seedy?
There's a bit of moss on the front, and it looks quite faded. It's got the orange and red stripes, which are, you know, period correct, but they're a bit faded out. And there's just a sort of seediness to it.
You've got to be very careful with these things. I would like one. But you see, the thing about the UK is I'd want a motorhome that definitely fitted into car parks and definitely could go to rural back lanes, because that's where I want to go camping. If you can't get to the place you want to go camping, it's sort of pointless. I don't want a kind of a road yacht which needs a tender at the back. I actually like the idea of pitching up my camp and then saying to the kids, we're now going to walk or cycle wherever we go. That's it.
Mm.
All right. I spend my whole life driving. I want to now not drive for a while.
Yeah.
And I kind of enjoyed it. Did some great cycle rides, Rich. Even though I had a puncture, as soon as I took my bike off the back of the rack, I realised the tyre had gone down. I went, oh, cack. So I had to cycle into a nearby town on a 14-year-old's bike in like sideways rain on a, down a really, like, up a really steep hill. But I managed to find what I needed, and really friendly bike shop guy. Sweet, sweet. I'm going to shout out to the triathlon bike shop in Tideswell, I think it is, in which is quite near Bakewell. What a sweet, sweet guy. Lovely, lovely guy. Really saved my skin in terms of bike parts and being open when they probably shouldn't have been open. So, yeah, that on that side of things, really, really cool. But, you know, while we were on this cycle ride, we went on this ride onto somewhere called the Monsall Trail, which is a disused railway line through the Peak District, which is really scenic. I recommend anyone who has... who wants to walk or cycle. It's just great. And as we were...
I looked this up after you sent me those pictures. Oh. You sent me those pictures, they looked brilliant. And I was intrigued, so I looked up the Monsall Trail. It looks fabulous.
It is. I think I'm going to go again this year, because you cycle through old railway tunnels, and you go over viaducts. So for the kids who... You know, I was trying to keep their enthusiasm up cycling long distance... There's lots of interesting things like going through giant tunnels, damp tunnels at that. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because while we were cycling, saw a few interesting things, but we had to get down to the start of the Monsall Trail, went down this lovely windy lane and then up some steep hills. And there was a tanker that overtook us, like a milk tanker.
Yeah.
And then it got stuck, not stuck, but it slowed right down because of some very tight corners, to the point where really it wasn't going a great deal quicker than us. And then I had a person behind me. I was at the back of the kids. I was playing daddy, you know, trying to make sure the kids were safe. There was this Honda Jazz CVT that was behind us, and you're thinking, how do I know it's a CVT? Well, because at every available opportunity they kept trying to overtake us and then backing off, and then when they did finally overtake us, they were stuck behind a tanker, so the gearbox was still within earshot of us, and I was getting really tired because there were some uphill stints which were punishing my legs, but I kept giggling because it was like I call the CVT hill climbing hymn. You know when people sing hymns, and there are certain people with much louder voices, even though they don't quite know the words always.
This is my entire memory of going to church. Is there's always a man behind you going, ah, da, 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 and you go, like having a foghorn in the back of your head.
The CVT hill climbing hymn session was exactly like that. This jazz was just going,
it doesn't know the words. It's going to put some gusto into it.
And the owner clearly was just thinking, kept prodding the throttle, thinking, I might better get round now. No, I can't. Oh, shit. Back off. Oh, I might better go now. Oh, no, back off. So this proper hymn-singing CVT was really making me giggle. The kids were like, what's so funny, Daddy? I'm like, oh, I'll tell you another time. It's too complicated.
Yes, let me tell you about continuously variable transmissions. This reminds me of something that I saw the other day, a couple of weeks ago, I think. I saw a dumper truck. You're like a sort of, I think, an eight-wheeler, maybe a six-wheeler.
Oh, okay, so not one of the ones that centre steers, the centre hinged ones.
No, sorry, as in like a lorry.
Oh, a lorry, okay.
I feel like I'm not using the correct terminology here, but you know, like a just a fixed chassis, not an articulated lorry, just a lorry, just a squat little lorry, but you know, one, a dumper, what we used to call a dumper truck when we were kids.
Yeah.
What are those? And they always look quite dense and heavy, don't they? But so it was quite improbable to see one doing quite a spicy overtaking manoeuvre on a car.
Oh, gosh.
But this guy, he just came in hot. Off a roundabout. So he was carrying a bit of speed, but not loads. I'm wondering, in retrospect, if it was empty and then they've got a bit of grunt to spare. Maybe they're quite short geared because they have to carry heavy loads.
They'll have a crawler gear, won't they?
But he wouldn't have been in the crawler gear. He'd have been in somewhere up the box, somewhere in the higher numbers and whatever they might be.
Somewhere up
the box. Betraying my ignorance of lorries now. But anyway, I just saw it. But I saw, he just really went for it. But very, you know, very clean manoeuvre. But it was quite, at the same time, he thought, I mean, visibility's not.
Was it a clean example of the manoeuvre?
It was a clean example of an overtaking manoeuvre that I was coming off the roundabout a different way and then sort of going the same way, saw this dumper truck go, and then it just came off the roundabout and then onto a straight, and then it just went round a car up ahead, all in one smooth move. And I was like, okay, fair enough. But I thought, what's the most improbable thing you've seen doing an overtaking move? Because you don't think of lorries as generally overtaking manoeuvres, not on single carriageway roads.
I've seen a car and caravan combination do some very bold pullouts.
Mm.
And of course, once you're committed, you are very much committed in a situation like that. Especially when the caravan starts to wag its tail. And that's when I back off. I instantly roll off the throttle. As soon as I see any trailer or caravan that starts to wag its tail, I'm like, out, abandon mission, get out. Because I just know that's going to end in a confetti of white plastic and aluminium.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Do caravans topple over these days, or has tow bar technology sort of evolved in some way I'm not aware of? Because I feel like when I was a kid, if there was a traffic jam on a dual carriageway, it was inevitably because a caravan had fallen onto its side and there was a Mark III Cortina with its arse in the air.
Yeah, there used to be more of that. The definitely tow hitch technology is better, and cars are better at towing. And I think caravans are more aero. Okay. Caravans are probably more balanced and more aerodynamic now as well. And there's more double axle.
Right. Okay. And so maybe they better made so that the centre of gravity is lower? I mean,
they might be. I'm sure some of our highly intelligent listeners will know the answer to this.
But I can't remember the last time I saw a caravan that had fallen onto its side and jacked up its tow car. And it's a vivid memory of childhood that it sort of seemed to be something you'd see.
Oh, talking of jacked up back ends, did I forward you on Instagram the stunts of Brazilian trucks?
Yes, you did.
I wanted to discuss this a couple of weeks ago and I completely forgot, and you've just prodded my mind. It really caught me, and I thought, that is odd. So let's explain this to the listeners. If you imagine a dragster stance, so the back of the truck trailer is way higher than the front of the truck trailer. So the opposite to a tipper, really. And they're so high. I mean, really high. And it's all born out of... Is it carjacking or cargo jacking being so rife in Brazil?
Yeah, so these look like they're on hydraulics.
Yeah, I think they must be.
At the touch of a button, the driver can jack up the rear. It just didn't make sense. And I didn't have a chance to look into this as to if this was legit or if it's some kind of Instagram joke.
I think it's for real.
Yeah. if someone tries to jump on the back of it, what do they do? They just jack the back end up. I don't really see how that affects things, though. It seems a bit weird to me. I have questions that I haven't had a chance to look into the answers of yet, but it's a. I also don't know where you sent it to me, but I'll never find it again now. Instagram Reels. Instagram is still such a baffling place for me because it's like, what? There are four different ways that people post things.
Oh, anyway,
enough old man confusion. But
I'm like that with Facebook, which probably makes me more. I don't ever go on it. I just do not understand the navigational process. I don't understand the messaging service. So no, please. I have a professional person to do Facebook for Late Break Show. I'm not on it. I just don't get it.
That's weird. I suppose it's what you've grown up with or what you've got used to.
Yeah.
I don't find Facebook confusing. They have added a lot of stuff to it. All seemingly designed to trap you into buying a pair of trousers, as far as I can work out.
Did you say trousers?
Trousers. I'm using a recent example because actually it was Instagram, the one that got me. That Instagram kept showing me some trousers, and eventually I've bought some of the trousers. And it kept showing me shorts as well. And I realised I needed some new smarter shorts because I'm going away somewhere warmer.
Oh, okay.
In a couple of weeks.
This is a conundrum.
Well, hey, this is how the world works now. Kept advertising me the shorts. I was like, go away. I don't want the shorts. Leave me alone. And I was like, oh, I actually do need some shorts. Well, I'll have to go shopping for shorts. And I was talking to a mate, and I happened to mention this, and he went, oh, you know those ones they're always advertising on Instagram? I bought a pair of those. They're really good. And so I bought a pair of them, and yes, they're really good.
Oh.
I'm not going to say the brand, though, just to spite them.
Were they... I'm just going to close my eyes and imagine for a second. Were there various cuts of the leg available, and you definitely went for the highest, which was sort of Club Tropicana Wham / Steve Cram 1984 Olympics kind of highness on the leg?
Yeah, even higher than that. They advertise it as the cut of this leg is like a Morris Minor with the wheel arches taken off.
Is it like when women make denim cut-off jeans and the pockets of the jeans are visible
Your
through?
Your pockets are showing, yes.
They're actually...
It's exactly like that, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But also, they're not tight, though, so there is things can escape at will, whether it's your loose change or your...
I would do that. You know, I would do that. I'd have the pockets visible, and then I would carry around, especially if I was going to a seaside town with loads of arcades. I would tie 60 quid in 2 pence pieces. And my shorts would be constantly falling down. And I'd have a ratchet strap for a belt. Ratchet strap.
Surely your leg would be... You'd get a welt on your leg from this enormous amount of metal currency rubbing on your thigh constantly. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, those are the shorts I bought. Can I just do a little ref back to a podcast from 2 or 3 weeks ago when we read out a message from a patron called Russ Clark, who he was the one whose dad spotted that poster for License to Drive, which has a Ferrari on it, but then the car key held up by one of the Coreys who stars in the film.
It's the Leyland Placole.
It's a BL key, yeah. And it caused his dad, on a holiday to France, to completely lose his shit.
And so
we
dad.
Were curious as to how badly the holiday was going that had caused Father Clark to reach this state of absolute fury. Well, Russ has filled us in. He says the backstory of the fraught Clark vacation is related to cars, but not as you might think. My mum was the finance administrator for a local family-run Mazda dealership who owned a caravan in the south of France.
Right.
One of the perks of working for this company was employees were able to use the caravan if they could make their own way there. It was decided this would be a great destination for our first family holiday abroad, but with my dad also feeling that our Morris Oxford with klaxon horn...
Klaxon?
Klaxon horn? I don't think they were a factory, but yeah. My dad feeling that our Morris Oxford was not up to the trip... Based on this realisation, it was decided it would be better if we made our own way there over land and sea. after vastly underestimating the stress involved in herding two young kids and an equally stressed wife across the continent involving coach, train, ferry and a French taxi with a chicken in the boot. Also, not speaking French and discovering that heat was a new and unprepared for experience, my dad found himself hurtling towards the edge of sanity. Upon seeking refuge in a cafe for a much-needed break from the midday sun, it was here that my dad spotted the poster, and enough was enough. The Leyland-based outburst occurred. The holiday did pick up, but it was the first and last one where my dad didn't drive. The Oxford was swapped for a yellow VW camper for a Yorkshire and Lake District touring holiday that ended up being during monsoon season. But that's a whole other story. So there we are, not driving to France when probably that would have been the best way to get there, was the cause of Mr. Clark getting driven over the edge by a BL key on an American movie poster in France.
I love that piece of trivia. If that's not in your next book of boring car trivia, then I shall eat all of your hats.
What, the BL?
The BL key being on a license to drive Ferrari poster.
But for one of my books, I would want to know why. How did it end up there? And as yet, no one's come forward with an explanation.
Well, that is good. And why is almost a subject of lots of other parts of trivia, isn't it? It's like the thing itself might not be interesting. The reason why is way more interesting.
The reason why, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I suppose I could devote the rest of this year to try to track down the graphic designer in Hollywood who designed that poster. Maybe they weren't in Hollywood, but it was 40 years ago.
But these things happen in the strangest of ways.
Well, if next week's show, I am live from Los Angeles because I'm on a fruitless search for the person who designed the poster for the 1980s film License to Drive, then you'll know that this has piqued my interest more than it probably should have done.
We talked an awful lot last week about Vauxhall Omegas.
Yes.
I think we said it three different ways, and I still now don't know where I am with it. It's almost like the new Porsche conundrum. What do we do? What do we commit to?
I was walking around the house just going, Omega. And I was like, God, I can't remember.
No, I can't remember
it's
either.
It's all three, and yet none. It's very confusing. Anyway, but yes, we did talk about the Omega.
And you know, Greg James off of the radio mentioned that he remembers when Classic FM's was sponsored by the Vauxhall Omega, which I thought was brilliant. Smooth at seven. I thought people of a certain middle class probably bought high-ranking Omegas. And as such, they might be the same kind of people that had expensive watches. And do you remember we had that giggle where we were talking about, watch shops, you sometimes see, it's usually in foreign countries, you have like an illuminating sign in a window which says Omega Service Centre or Omega Official Dealer, obviously referring to the wristwatch. I just thought how middle class, slightly confused, but also cool would it be to find out that, I don't know, your mate's dad drove his Omega to Switzerland to be serviced because he just thought, I'll go back to, where it's done properly. I'm not having any kind of British monkeys touching my Omega. I'm going straight to Switzerland, having it serviced there. And then making an unfortunate call into a shop which he quickly realises is absolutely nothing to do with motor cars at all. That's, in fact, wristwatches.
I'm going to say this confusion never happened.
Of course it never happened.
If you've got to a point where you're able to get a job where they give you, in the 90s, a Vauxhall Omega, you're probably not so stupid that you don't know about the existence of things with the same name that aren't the same.
What about very wealthy people who don't have any time and they just want people to sort their problems for them?
They say cash rich, time poor.
Cash rich, time poor. So they make a phone call to an Omega wristwatch centre in Switzerland, and they say, look, I've got two watches that desperately need servicing. I'll bring them to you. I've got to go across for business or something anyway, or to see a man about a thing. Can I drop them in? And when they drop them in, they just sort of like leave the card with them as well. Can you do that one as well? And by the time the person has tried to respond in English to say, look, we can't do that. That's not what we do at all. I think you've got the total. They just walk off. They just leave a box of watches on the passenger seat of the Vauxhall Omega and just walk off and get a taxi somewhere else to Zurich.
Yeah. I saw a man this week trying to get his Omega started, the car, not the watch.
Oh, really?
This is highly paint-damaged Omega that I sometimes walk past in back park.
Highly paint-damaged?
It's like dark green, and the paint has gone very eczema-y. It's just all, yeah.
That's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah, it's a shame. It otherwise looks quite tidy. And
that'd be seagull poo, won't it?
But I've only sort of seen it from afar, and then I saw it this week, and the guy had got the bonnet up, and he'd obviously put a new battery in it because there was a battery on the ground, and it was running. And I'd never really clocked the badges on the back. So, of course, you see one of those cars and you're kind of hoping that it's got the creamy, smooth, straight six in it. So it's a bit of a shock because, see, the engine bay, and it was a four-cylinder, it must have been a 2-litre. And the engine looks tiny and really far back.
Oh, that's good.
Because the bay's got the room for the six, but the four just looks a little bit lost in there.
I like engines like that because from a DIY mechanics point of view, they're actually really good.
But well, if it looks like you could possibly climb into the bay with the engine and have a good tinker.
Well, I'm sure in his semi-drunken stupor, I'm sure Greg James said, I'll buy you guys an Omega. I'm sure he said he would.
I think he might have said that as
well. I think possibly I'm going to have to listen back. I mean, I'm not...
No, I don't think... Did he? Oh, well,
he's a friend. I'm not going to hold him to that. But then maybe I am going to hold him to that and just say, go on then. Go on. Find me one.
Well, now, hold on. Because we've managed to talk now for like 40-odd minutes and not share the big news.
Oh, shit.
We don't need an Omega.
Guys, listen.
Because we've got a Vauxhall. This, A, should have come at the top of the show, if we were, but also, B, it needs something.
Well, we could quickly edit it in.
Air horns. I'll dub something on, or maybe
I'll,
not.
I'll try but, and do my...
Yeah, anyway. Guys. We've been wanging on about it for weeks and weeks. And it's become almost ridiculous, possibly tedious. But I'm pleased to announce that at long last, we have bought the Eagle Quest limousine.
Yeah! And the crowd go wild.
Crowd noise. Except I have some earth-shattering news. Because before we bought it, didn't want to muddy the waters here. Just because, you know, it felt like this was extraneous information. And yet also very important. This is from my friend Rob. Now, you've met Rob. Rob works on Countryfile.
Yes.
This is not relevant to this.
He only likes cars that are named after creatures because he works for Countryfile.
I hadn't considered that. But anyway...
It's true.
Rob heard us talking about the Eagle Quest and became intrigued by it. And he, in fact, found a listing for the last time it was for sale back in 2011. And something piqued his interest.
Oh, no.
And Rob was the one who discovered that the Eagle Quest that we now own is not an Eagle Quest.
Get out.
Eagle is the company that converts or converted these Vauxhalls into limos and hearses and stuff.
Yeah.
But the Quest was based on the Carlton.
Yeah.
So the Senator-based model was the Eagle Vauxhall Statesman.
The Eagle Statesman.
That's what we've bought. It's an Eagle Statesman.
Can we still call it the Quest or the Statesman Quest?
I think so. It's ours now. We can do what we like. I think particularly if we have some badges made up for it.
So
we wanted to share this news with you. We told our patrons the other day, because that's what you get if you're a patron. You get extra things from us. But it's now official. Well, it's sort of official. Money's changed hands, but only a deposit. We've got to go and actually get this thing.
Yes. Well, I want to say in my best Hollywood voiceover voice at this moment, saying,
"The eagle has quested."
But what I made the phone call driving back from a job from Spain 2 days ago. I made the call off on the Bluetooth to Ashley, the chap selling the car. So I'm just going to explain quickly why this was a little awkward. Ashley, I've been texting for a little while, but he hadn't replied to most of my messages. It was a very one-sided interaction. When I finally got through to him, he was very polite, and he said, "I've had an enormous amount of people text messaging me, and quite a lot of them have been offensive. It turns out that this car has been mentioned on, I don't know, some podcast." That's his words, not mine. And I've had a lot of people messaging me to say that my pricing's just wildly out and I'm never going to sell it for this kind of money. He said, "Well, I had 250 watches when it was listed before." I didn't say to him, "Yeah, because before we were talking about it as well." But anyway,
that was us as well. So you've not, he said, some podcast, and you've not gone, "Oh yeah, that's us."
I just went, "Yeah." He said, "I don't know what you're buying it for," but, and then there was a little swollen pause, and I went, "Oh well, I've always liked senators, and
but they're too short." And in my experience,
yeah. He said him and his business partner have had a number of limousines and hearses over the years, but he said, this one's, they've become quite fond of it. That's why they sort of held on to it for quite a while. And we chatted about the condition of it and stuff. But he said, "Oh, we acquire quite a few quirky things as well." He said, a lot of other cars. And I said, "Okay." He said, "Yeah, we've got like two Nissan S cargo vans, if you know what they are." And he said, I've got a Jaguar XJ early 80s limousine six door that's in like custard cream yellow. And I went, "Oh gosh, wow. Okay." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, I've got a pair of Honda Preludes." I went, "Have you?" He went, yeah. "One of them's the 2.2. I mean, I nearly died. I bit my lip so hard it was bleeding. And then he said, "And the other one's a rare Japanese import. That one's 2.3, actually." I thought, "Oh, shit. Okay." Ooh. And then we chatted about this, that, and the other, about where he's located and picking the car up and whether he'd do a deal. I mean, it was hard to do a deal. Let that be known. But he said, "Yeah, I got getting a little bit tired of the people kind of messaging me and being nasty, really. It's not on, it's not right. We've got really good feedback on eBay." And they do. But he said the car is in excellent condition, which is why I haven't been in a rush to get rid. And he said, "And you know what? Everyone was messaging saying, 'Oh, it's not worth it, it's not worth it.' He said, 'But at the end of the day, try and find another one.'" I nearly George Michaeled out the car on the M1, and he just got out. I nearly just got out at 70 with the Bluetooth still on.
"Ashley, I'll call you back." Donk.
So we're buying the Eagle Quest that isn't quite an Eagle Quest, but it still is. Let's just, yeah, off a lovely, honestly, a really lovely, polite chap who has two Preludes, and actually two said Preludes. "Find another" in a conversation. I almost wish I'd filmed, recorded the conversation now, but I wouldn't want to do that because I don't want to piss him off, because he's actually a really nice guy. He's just inadvertently, I feel bad that we've inadvertently pushed a load of traffic his way, unwanted traffic.
If you're listening to this and you messaged Ashley and had a go at him for the price of his Eagle Quest that's not an Eagle Quest, then have a look at yourself. I mean, it's, you know, there's no need. Really, keep it to yourself, your opinions about these things, unless you really wanted to buy it, in which case just go through a polite negotiation like you did. So we haven't got the car yet. We've got to go and get it at some point, hopefully the next 2 weeks.
In Ipswich.
It's going to be interesting. It's in Ipswich. And then we've got a little bit of a germ of a plan, but it's all very vague. Anyway,
I tell you what we have.
The eagle has landed.
We're going to video us picking the car up. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to insist that we film it in a way which would work for all the really famous vacuous Instagrammers. And then we're going to put some clips of it on Instagram and possibly on other networks as well. Yeah. I want you to be getting out of it really slowly in lots of different, like, ill-fitting designer clothing and look, and never looking at the camera, always looking back or at your watch.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll be doing that as well, but I'll be doing it parked in a lay-by that's just a little bit more muddy than you were expecting. But, you know, you've pulled over for a piss and you get out the car and you step into a really...
And you're wearing Crocs.
Yeah, I'm wearing white loafers and I immediately step into sort of like a horribly deep puddle and then just because I need a gateway piss. Yeah, so well, I'm so excited about the Eagle Quest, I have to say. It's genuinely, I think, it is a clean example of the mark. But I think...
Well, let's hope so.
I think the infamy that it seems to have created from us just constantly repeating its name that's not actually its real name. It's a bit like calling an uncle. It's a bit like calling a non-real uncle, uncle. But that's okay,
yes. Yeah. It happens, and that's fine. The uncle seems to be very... Or auntie, for that matter.
Yeah.
Quite fluid sort of terms. So, So
we're now looking out for a limited slip diff, if anybody wants one and needs one, has one.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's definitely what it needs. And I think probably we'll have to get it sort of stickered up in some way, won't we, at some point?
I think some tasteful
if
livery.
Not fairground artwork.
I think
airbrushing.
Purveyors of fine podcasts or something like that. So from a distance, it looks like tasteful signwriting, and then you realise it's just drivel. I think something like that would be quite good.
Like covered in various sort of catchphrases from this podcast, but made to look like as if it's sort of advertising a funeral directors or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure funeral directors signwrite their cars, do they? That might look a little tacky.
I forgot to say what...
In a solemn situation.
I forgot to say while I was in the Peak District pedalling a 14-year-old's bicycle... I went past I went past an artisan butcher shop, and it was called Bespoke Butchery.
What?
And I was already wobbling a bit because the frame was way shorter than it should have been for a man of my stature. And I was like, "What do you mean?" I just started to think about it. Yeah. Like, what do you mean, Bespoke Butchery? I mean,
that's nonsense.
It doesn't mean a thing, does it?
No,
this whole
bespoke, we do it precisely to you, so you can go, right, I want 7/8 of a chicken, please, cut like a cake. No, nonsense. They cut the meat for you, that's half the point of a butcher's shop, otherwise you'd do it yourself. And that makes almost no sense.
No.
Anyway, we should bring this to a halt and go away to reflect on the fact that this podcast now owns a 90s limousine for no reason whatsoever, except we thought the name was funny.
Well, we should...
And it's not even the name.
We should just celebrate the fact that we've reached the point where we've bought a company car, okay?
Yes.
And that can only mean that in the future we'll commit to doing more live events because we have bespoke transportation.
Well, quite. And we are actually planning some live shows. We are... Definitely at the Festival of the Unexceptional in the summer. We've mentioned that before. We'll mention it again.
Yeah, I
think
wait.
Tickets are still available, but I don't know how many are left.
It's a hell of an event.
By car. It promises to be excellent. We, in fact, this week just gone, have been adding some little detail to some of the on-stage activities that we'll be doing. We'll be recording a live podcast, so if you've not been to one of our live shows, come to the Festival of the Unexceptional. We'll do one there. But also, we're going to do an on-stage quiz called Wheel Trim of Misfortune, and we're going to do a version of popular 80s kids show Swap Shop, but involving car parts. So come to the Festival at the Unexceptional. We'll be there all day, hopefully in the Eagle Quest. Not sure if we'll be allowed to park it in the Unexceptional car area or if it has to go somewhere else.
I'm going to put it in I'm going to create a VIP area, so I'm going to buy some towel rails and some thick rope. And I'm just going to, and I'm going to cordon it off in an area where people can't get too close. But I'm going to, I'll display it with one of the back doors open so people can see the faux wood and the chauffeur divider.
The chauffeur divider.
Yeah, yeah. I might have a dry ice machine in there as well, just so every sort of half hour, it just
Leave it running with the doors closed for a bit, and then open the door.
I forgot one crucial detail when I was talking to the chap about when I was trying to do the deal on the Eagle Quest.
Yeah.
I said, can you... I said, I sent you two messages asking about the band who used to own it.
Oh,
can
yes.
you give me any more details? Because has the car got service history? He said, oh, yeah, we've got lots of service history with the car. He said... He laughed and he went, I've been trying to get the details of this band. But he said that the complication is the guy that I bought it off bought I bought another car off him at the same time. And I left a deposit for it. And now I can't seem to get hold of him. So he's not replying to any of my messages. I haven't got the car yet. And... Mm. He's still got my money. So he said, oh. I think he might have done a bit of a runner and therefore isn't going to ever. So he said, it still remains unexplained. So I think our next port of call, apart from making sure the Eagle Quest is on the button and serviced perfectly, like any good mayoral vehicle, I think we got to find out which band previously owned our Quest. That's our Quest.
Well,
that's the new Quest.
I noticed in the pictures there's actually a plectrum.
Yes.
Shoved into a gap on the dashboard.
There is. So either it had a squeak on the dash from perhaps scuttle shake, or maybe someone who was sitting in the passenger seat was just strumming away and just wedged it in.
Maybe
there.
The lead guitarist got car sick, so he had to ride up front.
Yeah, I bet it was, and just needed to look out all the time. And, of course, the silky smooth auto box just allowed him to really calm himself down and think of a happy place. But I hope that it was owned by a band that anyone knows.
Yes, it'd be a bit disappointing if it turns out that it's just... Or if it's like, you know, sort of Warwickshire's leading Oompah band. You go, well, that's no good. We're really holding out for Marillion, but... Anyway, look, we should stop this now. More Eagle Quest news as we have it.
The quest continues, Rich. The quest continues.
The quest, well, yeah, that's it. This is only the beginning of the story now. Right, okay, let's wrap this up before we go. I have three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Waste of Space Show, in which he positions himself as some kind of feng shui expert and then just ruins people's houses by insisting they have a chest freezer in the middle of the sitting room. If that's not to your taste, there is the Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on there. What's coming up this week?
Sorry. So if you didn't see it already, I've got an update on the Bug and Ghetto Boxster. And there'll be another one of those coming out quite soon, just detailing how I repaired it and made it reliable and watertight. I've got a barn find, I think, the latest one, it should be a barn find. I'm having a sort of technical issue with the edit, but it's more of a farm find. It's been left out. It's a really rare, is certainly in this country, exotic car that's been left outside for too long, but it's miraculously held on there, and it's a real survivor car, and I think it's particularly cool. If you like right at the end of the 80s cars, look no further.
I think I do. All right, good. Second thing I've got to tell you is I have various books out. Boring Car Trivia 4, that's one of them. Go and buy that as an ebook or a paperback from Amazon. Or the paperback is available through our merch shop, where you can also buy Smith and Sniff hats and T-shirts and stickers and mugs and all of those things.
And all of that.
And the third thing I have to tell you is, if you're sort of our generation, one of the most memorable characters from the soap opera Neighbours was Mrs. Mangle.
Oh, yes.
Everyone remembers Mrs. Mangle. Neighbours legend, probably one of the most famous characters ever from any soap opera. She was only in Neighbours for 2 years.
Was she?
Yeah. April 86 to October 88. That's it. That's all she did.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You'd think she was in it forever because she's sort of, you know, like Ken Barlow or something. She's just a fixture. But no, she was actually quite a short-lived character.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody remembers her.
Mrs. Mangle. I bet you're going to say now, although she looked ancient, she was only 42.
That's a good point. I don't know that, but it's probably, yes, probably. Almost certainly that she was like our age or something, but, you know, she was made to be this sort of ancient battle axe.
Good. I'm just thinking about the fact that we own an Eagle Quest now. I'm just really excited.
It's... when you told me that you'd successfully made contact with the guy and the deal was on, I was genuinely very excited, and yet I couldn't quite place my excitement. I was like, why am I excited? What effect is this going to have on my life, except I can go to bed tonight knowing that technically I half owed a 90-stretch senator? It's not exactly a boyhood dream. And yet, so in some ways, it's better than a dream.
Do you know what, though?
All right.
You never know. There'll be someone out there on the Smith & Stiff grapevine who'll go, yeah, I've got I've still got an unused, crated 24-valve engine for that and a limited slip diff from a stillborn touring car effort. Go, oh, okay. Here we go. Have to say, though, it's rare because it's 4-door, not a 6-door.
Yes.
All right? People keep thinking it's a 6-door. It's not. It's still a 4-door.
No, it's magnificently gawky in profile.
It is.
we will share more photos with it in due course, I'm sure. But that's enough for this week. We'll do this all again next week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye. Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye.
So you've enjoyed this podcast, but you've had a thought. Is there a way here today that you could show support? Well, you could join our Patreon. What wonders that it brings. Early shows and extra notes on that side of things. Goodbye, our merchandise. We've mugs and hats, but still no ties. One day we will make those pies, but in the meantime, guys, hey guys,
like and subscribe, and maybe leave a nice review. Like and subscribe, we know you know just what to do. Like and subscribe, we don't want to take the piss. Like and subscribe, but we were told to ask for this. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
People have started signing off emails to us.
What, cheers, mate. With thanks, mate.
C-M-T-M-B.
Oh, I haven't.
It took me a minute to figure out what was going on.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.